free from all pains and not striving for some result, is very dear to me. One who neither rejoices nor grieves, who neither laments nor desires, and who renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things, such a devotee is very dear to me. One who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residence, who is fixed in knowledge and who is engaged in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me. And then finally, those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service and who completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me. And in the purport to the previous two verses, 18 and 19, Srila Prabhupada says that we may find some repetition in the description of the qualifications of a devotee, but this is just to emphasize the fact that a devotee must acquire all these qualifications. Without good qualifications, one cannot be a pure devotee. And then he quotes that verse, Harav abhaktasya kuto mahat gunaha. One who is not a devotee has no good qualification. One who wants to be recognized as a devotee should develop the good qualifications. Then he says, of course, he does not extraneously endeavor to acquire these qualifications, but engagement in Krishna consciousness and devotional service automatically helps him to develop them. So the first verse we read today talks about how even if you appear to have some of these so-called qualifications to be a proper person in a proper society, doing your proper duty according to the qualities necessary to accomplish those duties, and in a bigger sense, Varnashram Dharma is Dharma, completely Dharma, that one should be a good person, one shouldn't do anything wrong, one should do everything right, one should not lie, not cheat, not steal. Like Buddha came along when Buddha Avatar came along when Brahmins were had been so corrupted in Kali Yuga. They were saying, you want to eat meat? We can perform the rituals for you and then you can eat meat. They were misusing their Vedic knowledge to allow people to engage in adharma. And then Buddha Avatar preached what's called upadharma, these sub-religious principles, that don't be violent, don't kill animals. I don't care what the Vedas say you can do. Don't kill the animals. Don't satisfy your tongue by this violence, and one should be self-controlled. One should not commit adultery. We have these things in all religions, right? The Ten Commandments. Don't steal from someone. Don't lie from someone. Don't cheat. So dharma, in the full sense, is to be a good person and not to put anyone in any difficulty unnecessarily, and not to be disturbed by others because you're remembering Krishna. You're happy. So these qualities, if you don't remember Krishna, if you try to develop these qualities externally, artificially, but without remembering Krishna, you won't be able to maintain those good qualities. That's what Yogendra was telling King Nimi. And then the next verse, of course, the very important verse that Srila Prabhupada quoted so often, is that the whole purpose of all our rules and regulations. Why do we get up early in the morning? Why do we worship the deity? Why do we chant our rounds? Why do we take a bath? Why do we wear tilak? Why do we shave our heads, those of us who shave our heads? And why do we go out on book distribution? Do all the things we do that the Prabhupada has prescribed for us is to help us remember Krishna constantly and to ultimately to reawaken our dormant spiritual emotions and be fixed in a steady bhava, remember our actual position as devotees, servants of Krishna, eternal servants of Krishna, and go back to the spiritual world and live eternally with Krishna there in our natural, eternal, perfected body. So we do all this. All these things are servants of this one principle, to always remember Krishna, and also to never forget Krishna. So anything that helps us remember Krishna and is approved by the spiritual master, that we should accept very wholeheartedly. And things that help us forget Krishna or allow us to forget Krishna, things that we do that don't help us remember Krishna, we should avoid those things. And that will help us develop all the good qualities that devotees have, all the good qualities that devotees are expected to have, all the good qualities that will make the rest of the people in the world follow the devotees. We're the Sankirtan movement. We want to invite everyone in to, yes, you all should chant Hare Krishna. You should all should take up this process. One time I was on Harinam Sankirtan in front of Sather Gate in the University of California at Berkeley, and there were some homeless people there who were scoffing at us, and we were chanting and everything, and some homeless man was heckling us. And I forget exactly how the conversation went, but I quoted to him from the Bible. I don't remember how it came up that way, but Jesus said, by their fruits you should know them. I told him, you know, by their fruits you should know them. You should know who's really godly by seeing how they have godly qualities. And then he surprised me because he was a homeless man. I didn't expect him to be so sharp. Sometimes people in the mode of ignorance are expert at finding the faults in others, the real faults that are there. And he said, well, I see your qualities. You're Hare Krishna devotees. You mistreat your children. You mistreat your wives. You have all these bad qualities, he started saying. And I felt that he was defeating me, actually, you know, that if we have bad qualities, it means we haven't become good at remembering Krishna, right? And how to become good if we're having problems in the... So it works both ways. The reason we have these principles, four regular principles, the 16 rounds, the things that we do on the order of the spiritual master, is to help us remember Krishna always and never forget him. And also if we're having trouble with, like the first verse suggests, if we're having trouble with these principles or we're falling down from our position as saintly devotees, it's because we have neglected to remember Krishna. And we can help ourselves. If it's difficult for us, we should chant better rounds. Maybe chant some more extra rounds. Maybe cut out watching television or something that's causing us to forget Krishna. So it works. It's both ways. That these principles are servants of the basic principle to always remember Krishna. And also, so that as their servants, they help us remember Krishna. And also, if we don't remember Krishna, we're going to fall down from these principles as well. So we have to be very careful. So Srila Prabhupada therefore says the most essential instruction is, at least for the neophytes, we should chant at least 16 rounds. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya won't take lunch at anyone's home who's not a lakpati. A lakpati means someone who has 100,000. So you might think it means he has 100,000 rupees or $100,000 or 100,000, you know, whatever. What he's saying is that he has to chant 100,000 names every day. He's saying it in this way, kind of humorous way, that he has 100,000. Because he chants 100,000 names. If you chant 64 rounds, you chant a little more than 100,000 names. If you chant 16 rounds, of course, 25,000, a little more than that, maybe 27,000 names. So in the Gaudiya Math, the sannyasis were expected to chant 64 rounds every day. Prabhupada initially asked the devotees in ISKCON to chant 64 rounds, and they said, we can't do it. Then he said, all right, 32 rounds, and then they said, we can't do that. And they said, all right, 16 rounds. And they said, oh, even that's too hard. And he said, no, 16 rounds minimum. For neophyte devotees, as he says here, even if Westerners are not accustomed to sitting in one place and concentrating for a very long time, that if you don't chant 16 rounds at least, you're not going to be able to remember Krishna all the time. If you're chanting 16 rounds, and then the rest of your activities are dedicated to devotional service, you're making garlands for the deities, you're worshiping the deities, you're cleaning the temple, you're cooking for the deities, you're going on Harinam, you're going on book distribution, you're going out to some home program, speaking engagement, going to college or high school to talk to people about Krishna consciousness. All these things are ways that we can remember Krishna. And that's the basic purpose of everything. Now, we should not think, therefore, that we don't have to follow the regular principles. So there's a corollary verse in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that Prabhupada often quoted. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatrika Bhinbidha Aikantike Harer Bhaktir Utpadaya Kalpate. That if someone says, oh, all I have to do is remember Krishna, so I'm going to do it in some way that's contrary to the teachings of the scriptures, then he says that's a disturbance in society. That, you know, when... sometimes, for example, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni emphasizes so much that Krishna consciousness is the goal that he says, like, Tyaktva Svadharmang Charanam Bhujam Harer Bhajana Pakbhota Patatato Yudhi. He says that, you know, even if one gives up his religious duties in order to chase after the lotus feet of Krishna, and even if he falls down, Yatra Svabhad. Even if he falls down, he hasn't lost anything. And otherwise, even if he does all his duties perfectly, but he doesn't worship Krishna, then what has he gained? The goal is to achieve Krishna. Notpada yad yadiratim shrama eva hi kevalam, right? Dharmasya hyapavargyasya nartartaya upakalpate. This is Sutta Goswami in the second chapter of the first canto. He's saying that even if you perform all your duties according to varna and ashrama, that is, if you live a moral life, if you do things that you're supposed to do in society, but you don't achieve attraction for Krishna, then you're wasting your time, right? You're wasting your time. Life is for remembering Krishna. That's what the goal of life is. And then the other verse I was started to say is those who are on the path of liberation, they shouldn't waste their life's energy pursuing sense gratification. They should get as much sense gratification as you need to maintain body and soul together and use your full energy for inquiring into the absolute truth. The absolute truth, which is then described as realized in three features, as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Srimad Bhagavatam is the book that explains this Bhagavan feature. This is the goal of life, to go up to the highest level of realization of the absolute truth, to realize Krishna, Bhagavan. And if you don't do that, then even if you're a perfectly aristocratic person who's everyone respects, or you're a great celebrity, you have all these attractive qualities of strength, fame, knowledge, renunciation, wisdom, and beauty. But if you don't have Krishna consciousness, what have you got? You don't have anything. You're going to fall down. You're not going to be able to maintain. You're going to have to take birth again. You're going to die and take birth according to your karma somewhere else. So Narada Muni is emphasizing the goal in Srimad Bhagavatam is so important that these other goals of following Dharma, even if you give them up to attain Krishna, and even if you don't attain Krishna, you're not the loser actually, but you don't have to give them up. In other words, if you want to be a devotee of Krishna, you should follow the principles of Dharma. In fact, if you don't, Yesham Twantagatam Papam, as I was saying, Krishna consciousness is for those who are pious and who are free from sin. If you chant Hare Krishna, you're free from sin. If you chant Hare Krishna with the mentality that it eradicates sin, so I'll commit some more sin and then I'll get over it by chanting Hare Krishna, that's a great offense to the holy name. It won't work. You can't take advantage of the holy name that way. So we're supposed to follow these principles. Varnashrama Acharya Bhatta. Vishnu Aradyate. Purushena Pumakpuman Vishnu Aradyate. So these principles of the Varnashram Dharma are meant for satisfying Vishnu. He wants to see us be honest. He wants to see us be self-controlled. He wants to see us perform austerities. Not, we don't lay on bed of nails. Like maybe we saw Some pictures from the Mahakumbh Mela recently, they had these yogis who put their hand up like this and they never let it down all their life, and it becomes atrophied and their fingernails grow in, dig into their, I mean, that Krishna, you know, even demons are good at doing very severe austerities. You know, one demon was going to chop his own head off to offer it into the fire for Lord Shiva. We don't have those austerities. Actually, our austerities are very simple. Wake up early in the morning, keep yourself clean, take a bath. I mean, if you don't follow these, it's actually more austere to let yourself stay dirty and, you know, you're always itchy and smell bad and stuff like that. No, these austerities, be clean, wake up, put on your tilak, eat prasadam. Krishna prasadam is actually wonderful. It's healthy diet, vegetarian diet. Some people think, oh, you're so austere, you can't eat. You know, you've probably all experienced this. You go to some place where there's non-devotees and they say, oh, you can't eat this, you can't eat that, like as if you wanted to eat their pork chops or something like that. But no, it's not really austerity. It's actually a clean, healthy life. Prabhupada's poem to on the Vyasa Puja day for Bhaktisiddhanta, he said something like, a healthy life is Chaitanya wrought, pleasing and simple as morning dew, something like that. I'm not, maybe not getting it right, but so we should perform some austerity. Whatever we do, yat kuroshi, yat ashnasi, yat juhosi, dadasi, so whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we offer in sacrifice, whatever charity we give, whatever austerities we perform, these are things that people do to be good people, but we should do them as offerings to Krishna and to for us to help us remember Krishna. We should do them. We can't avoid doing them. We shouldn't be uncharitable people. We shouldn't be churlish people. We shouldn't make enemies. If you go on the internet, on social media, you'll find the communications often devolve into some violent thing where everybody wants to hurt each other by their words, which is not very good. It's not these godly qualities. If we remember Krishna, it will help us avoid having those ungodly qualities. And that makes for a very happy life. We're actually teaching something to make people happier, and that's how preaching is effective. People aren't going to be effective if we say, oh, here we're prescribing you some very bitter medicine, you have to take it. And, you know, it may taste bitter at first. Then Rupa Goswami says, Syat Krishna Nama Charitati Sitapya Vidya Puta Pitopatasya Rasanasina Nurochikanu Kintuadurada Anudinam Kalu Sarvajukstra Swadvikramad Bhavatitad Gada Mulahantri. That just like sometimes when you have I had jaundice, I went to India and I got jaundice one time, very bad. I was all yellow and stuff. And I couldn't walk past a restaurant where they were cooking things, there was fat in it, it would make me want to vomit. Things tasted very bad. It changed your sense of everything, you know. And he says that because we have this ignorance, we don't want to chant Hare Krishna. We'll chant Hare Krishna, and it's not attractive to us. We want to do something else. We think of something else we have to do. We want to go read that magazine or, you know, or some other distracting activity. But that's because of the disease of ignorance. So he says it's like jaundice. You don't want to taste something that's nice and juicy and sweet because your senses have been affected by this disease. But it's simply wonderful that, and we used to call these little sweet balls simply wonderful, I guess we still do, simply wonderful sweet balls. It's simply wonderful that by chanting these names regularly every day, then that disease of jaundice is destroyed at the root, and then we can taste how sweet it is. Srila Prabhupada one time said, when they said, what is it like to chant Hare Krishna properly, he said, you'll think, why 16 rounds? Why not a million? Why not 100,000 rounds? Or something like that. If we're actually advancing Krishna consciousness, we'll find that our chanting japa is very, very relishable. It's actually a great privilege. And it's not like, oh, my spiritual master has given me this burden. He makes me sit 2 hours every day and chant and I can't do the other things I want to do. It's, no, my spiritual master has given me this order that I get to chant at least 2 hours every day. I might have other duties if I live in the temple and there's things they need me to do. You know, I have to do them. I have to clean the kitchen or whatever. But I get to say, no, at least I'm going to chant these 16 rounds. That's the most important regulation, most important order that Srila Prabhupada has given me. What does he say here? Most essential. Of all the regulative principles, the spiritual master's order to chant at least 16 rounds is the most essential. I don't want to get in trouble with the temple president that, you know, someone is taking all day long to chant his 16 rounds and says, oh, I can't clean the kitchen because I haven't finished my rounds. And you should be able to chant within 2 hours, 2.5 hours at most, you know. A lot of devotees chant in an hour and a half. 16 rounds, 16 good rounds, and then you can do your other duties that you have to do, which also help you remember Krishna. But this is the most essential principle. It's a great privilege that you get to chant Krishna's holy name. Not everybody gets that. Not everybody knows. They don't get the association of a devotee. We're so fortunate we've got the association of a great devotee, Srila Prabhupada, and he's prescribed this medicine for us. Lord Chaitanya has brought this medicine from the spiritual world, and it will arise like the sun in the heart and destroy the ignorance that's there, and the darkness of ignorance that's there. And so I'll stop here, and I'd like some discussion. Yes, Prabhu. Please tell me your name also.
It's Max.
Max. Hare Krishna, Max.
Hare Krishna. You're talking about developing good qualities, and I see lots of bad qualities in my thinking. I don't necessarily act on them. I'm wondering, should I be very much, like, give myself a hard time about, because I do, you know.
Well, you should. It's good that you're recognizing these as bad qualities, but giving yourself a hard time won't eradicate the bad qualities. What will eradicate the bad qualities is chanting good Hare Krishna, remembering Krishna. I mean, that's the essence of this class. So don't beat yourself up, but make sure that you rectify it. That's what. I heard one class from Radhanath Swami, and he was talking about a class that Srila Prabhupada gave at New Vrindavan, and one devotee said, you know, Srila Prabhupada, it's because of, sometimes we can't follow the principles because of weakness. And Prabhupada said, weakness? Radhanath Swami described it being like, Prabhupada was like a, roaring like a lion. Rectify it, you know. You know, we have bad qualities. You know, we've been in this material world for a long, long time. Even devotees, you know, myself, I still have many bad qualities. I still become attracted to, you know, sinful behavior. I'm not, you know, it should be like whatever Krishna wants is like nectar, and whatever Krishna doesn't want is like poison. But sometimes you think, oh, you know, you do something sinful. Oh, nectar, you know. That's a bad quality, you know. We still have these things from long habits from long ago. Even devotees who've been practicing for 50 years or more still may have some bad habits. Maybe they haven't been practicing perfectly, I'm speaking for myself. It's a gradual process. It takes prolonged use. But the medicine is not to feel bad and feel guilty and get depressed about it. And you should recognize it. This is a bad thing. I can't do that. I have to rectify it. But the medicine to rectify it is to remember Krishna. That's what these verses are teaching. And even if you don't have those bad qualities, if you don't remember Krishna, you're going to develop the bad qualities later. That's a fact. You can't really have all the good qualities unless you're a pure devotee of Krishna. Anything? Did that answer your question completely? Or
yes, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the class. So you're mentioning about qualities again, and that one remains equipoised no matter what happens. What does that mean in the sense of, so I may be disturbed about something, but I just continue to do my seva? Or does it mean that in the mind, you know, like, does a devotee not be get disturbed by things? He may get disturbed, but they remain equipoised, meaning they externally they keep on doing their seva. Is that what that means?
The word equipoised is used a lot. Krishna says, "Samatvam yogam uchite." Right in the second chapter, you know that siddhya siddho. You know, in whether you do it perfectly or you don't do it perfectly, you should remain fixed in yoga. That's what yoga is called, is equipoise. And one should consider pebbles, gold, and stones as the same, you know, or the yogis who are advanced, they see them as the same. They're in fame and infamy, you know, like Arjuna was in the beginning saying, you know, yeah, if I kill my superiors, I'll become infamous and I'll do all these bad things. And Krishna says, you do your duty regardless. So equipoise, I think, is when you see things as they really are, that everything's Krishna's energy, then it won't disturb you that if someone insults you. And when someone is an enemy, you'll see that they're just a spirit soul conditioned by different modes of material nature. They're not really your enemy. You're a spirit soul. You can't be burned by fire or chopped to pieces by weapons. So you can remain remembering Krishna happily, satisfaction. In the sixth chapter, there's that verse, Gurunapi Vichalyate, when he's describing with someone in samadhi, he says that even in the most distressing circumstances, a person in samadhi remains undisturbed. Having attained this, yadrichcha labhate, you know the verse probably, I don't, you know, that having attained this state, one thinks there's no greater gain. And even in the most difficult of circumstances, they remain undisturbed. So that's what the equipoise means, is we see everything as Krishna's energy. So the heat and cold, happiness and distress, instead of becoming chasing after happiness and running away from distress, we do our duty to please Krishna, and the distress doesn't bother us. We see it as external. Because we're connected to the absolute truth internally, it doesn't interfere with our natural state of bliss, Krishna conscious bliss, even though we feel our senses are hurting us or our mind. He said it's even harder in the sixth chapter, right? It's even more advanced that you see the enemies and friends as equals than it is to see, you know, heat and cold as the same. So the word equipoise is used a lot in the scriptures in little different ways, but it means that samatvam, it means that steadfastness by real actual realization that everything is Krishna's energy, and that Krishna's our best friend, and that we're doing what we do for Krishna, what he likes us to do, and what seems like poison is, if Krishna wants us to do it, it's like nectar.
So I just remembered about the Goswamis, yeah? That they were, it was cold and they were shivering. I kind of remember that. Do you remember that somewhere where it described about the Goswamis?
I remember hearing they were shivering, whether it's because they're cold or because they didn't eat much and didn't sleep much, really because they were in ecstasy. Preme tala dala sonara anga. And the song we were singing this morning, the footbells were jingling because Lord Chaitanya was having prema.
I think the shivering there was something in regards to physical, outward, the elements or something.
They slept outside. Even though they did so much, they built all those temples, they found the holy places, they wrote all those books. And yet, they lived so simply.
So they felt it, but they were beyond it. So they were felt it, but they were so absorbed. Not that they didn't feel it, the body was shivering, but that it didn't bother them.
They remained in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness, saying, "Oh, that's another bhajan that we should sing often, is the prayers to the six Goswamis." Not everybody, new devotees, don't learn these songs. We should learn them, how these six Goswamis were like that. I don't want to take too much time, but it's the 50th anniversary of the Vrindavan temple, and they've been showing these memory tapes that Siddhanta had put together with people remembering about the 50 years ago, what it was like. And I think it was Smarahari, I forget who, I think it was Smarahari was talking about how they were living and what they didn't have food to eat, you know, what they could eat was very plain, and how they were living was very plain. And then Srila Prabhupada said, this is Goswami living, you know. And when the first time I went to Vrindavan, of course, I love the fact that we can go stay in the guest house and go eat in the restaurant there and everything like that. But the first time I went there, Bhakti Churu Swami was saying, you know, coming to Vrindavan, you shouldn't be comfortable. You shouldn't be able to go to a restaurant and have a nice hotel to stay in. You should be austere because you're here in Vrindavan, Krishna's land. He's, you know, Krishna might be anywhere. So anyway, he was saying like that. He didn't like that we had a nice restaurant, but it's important that we have a nice restaurant that people, devotees can come and worship Krishna without being too uncomfortable. But I better stop because we're way after 9 o'clock already. But unless there's anything urgent that anybody else has. Hare Krishna, glories to Chaitanya Charitamrita, glories to Sanatana Goswami. These are, by the way, I might not have mentioned this. We're still covering Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami. He's talking about the regulative principles. Hare Krishna.